And it's funny because during the course of the week, my wife asked me what I'm going to preach on, and I got to get into the bulletin, and my wife likes to coordinate the songs as much as she can with the sermon, and so I gave her a subject, and then as the week went on, the Lord just kind of kept pressing me a different direction, and I've learned over the years that when the Lord says preach on something else, don't fight it, just do it because someone needs it. And maybe it's a refresher in my life that I needed to hear this sermon, because sometimes that happens. God just speaks to me, and you guys just go along for the ride. But maybe you're here this morning, and God wants you to hear this message, and maybe someone online that's listening, that God wants them to hear. This message was freshly delivered for you. And I hope it meets you where you're at. Because I don't know, this past, you know, even the last month, you know, heading into Christmas, and my heart just really wasn't kind of in that Christmas spirit. I don't know about you. Everything just seemed out of whack. And my spirit has been heavy with just the heartache that's around us, the struggle that so many people are going through, and here within our own church, with those who have passed away this past year, hearing cancer and treatments and sickness and struggling and, you know, just turmoil and aches and all these things are going on. Just things haven't been normal. And I don't know about you, but I've done a whole lot of praying this year for various things. And I'm thankful we serve a God that answers our prayers. Aren't you glad? You know, we come before Him and we worship Him and He hears us and we have this relationship. But have you ever been in a position where you felt that God wasn't paying attention? Where, God, where are you in all of this? Where our prayers seem to go unanswered. Our cries seem to be ignored. You know, back in my old Sunday school days as a kid, I was always taught that God always answers prayer. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, and sometimes it's a wait. And I can't help but think, you know, as I pray and God is good, God has blessed us, and God has said yes a lot of times. We've asked for things and God has answered those prayers. We've seen the sick get better. We've seen financial things work out. We've seen these things in our lives where God has said yes. And you know what? I like it when God says yes. Woohoo! I love it when things work out just the way I thought they would, or even better, right? I love it when God says yes. My daughter was opening Christmas gifts this year, and I love it when she says, "Dad, you know, Mom." She usually is Mom, because Mom does most of it, right? And it says, "You know, Mom, this is just what I wanted." It's like, yeah, because you told us what you wanted. You're dropping hints for the last 2 months, right? You know, and so it's like, oh, this is just what I wanted. Like, yes. I learned this very early in my marriage relationship, because I don't take hints well. I don't know if it's a guy thing. I don't know, you ladies, I don't know how you're, right? I don't know if they give hints and they pick up on those things. I am clueless. I am as numb as a stick. And so early on, my wife would say, "Oh, I like something like this." And it's like, okay, well, I would always get the wrong thing. So then I got a little smart. I was like, well, show me, right? So we're in a store once, and this is back when the Rees, you know, I call them all the dead sticks, were all real popular, you know. And so she goes, "Oh, I want that one." She points across the store. It's like, all right, great. So I got it, wrapped it up, gave it to her. Guess what? It was the wrong one. She wanted the one next to the one that, right? It's like, oh! So now, you know, after 30 years of marriage, you know, put it in my hand. What is it that you want so I can't mess it up, right? We love it when people say yes to us. We love it when God says yes to us. And sometimes God says no. And I've learned along the way, God says no for a reason. And it's always a good reason, because we have a good God. But I don't always like no's. You know, this past year we've prayed for healing for some folks that the Lord took home. It was God's will. But it's not what... And I think sometimes no is really one of those things that show us, I want to say, our maturity maybe in the Lord. And what I mean by that is, you know, I challenge you to go to Walmart, even though some of you have kids, you know, aren't Walmart toy section age. But just go down there. It's really eye-opener. Because you go down through and you'll see a little Bobby, a little Susie will pick up a box, a gift, and come out and say, "Mom, can I get this?" And when mom says yes, "Oh, you're the best mom in the world. Oh, I love you," right? It's like, it's easy. When things are yes, it's like, "Oh, yeah." But what happens when mom says no? Or dad says no? Right? And that's when you find out sort of the character of the child. You know? It's like, "Oh, no." It's like, "Okay, okay." Or is it the kids that, "Well, you don't love me anymore. You don't love me. You don't do anything for me." And they lay on the floor and they start kicking, right? And that's when everyone else is like, you know, "I'm pushing down." Everyone clears out while this kid is having a fit because he heard the word no. And spiritually, I don't want to be the little brat when God says no. I need to learn to accept no. So God says yes sometimes. God says no sometimes. But sometimes God says, wait. And I'm pretty honest from the pulpit. Probably too honest, you probably say. But this is the one that I have a hard time with, because I have a hard time waiting. You know, my family will tell you, I don't wait well. You know, I'm famous for, we're going to the parade and waiting for the parade to start. And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to go get coffee. Hon, you want, I figure if my wife, bribe her with coffee. I'll go get some coffee for us. You wanted some coffee?" She's like, "Okay." So I'm off searching out coffee because I just can't stand there waiting. I just don't wait well. Which has been really hard during this whole COVID thing. Seems like everywhere there's a line, everywhere we're waiting, so maybe the Lord's just working on me on patience. But when God turns around and has us wait, a lot of times he doesn't say, "Okay, John, you're on hold right now." Right? Oh, even saying that word. I had to deal with a company on something. And I, you know, spend an hour on hold, right? And don't you just love those machines? You know, they play this obnoxious music, and then they break in. And you're like, "Oh, this is it! It's a recording." "Well, your call's important to us." "No, it's not. You know, it was important to you and have a person, right?" "Oh, wait, right?" And oftentimes, when we wait with God, God doesn't say, "Okay, John," or, "You're on hold right now." What happens is, often, from our perspective, it seems like you don't hear anything. And that's when my lack of faith starts to show, where, "God, are you even there?" Have you ever been in a position where your heart is broken, you're crying out to God, and it just feels like it's kind of bouncing off the ceiling? "God, where are you?" And I know it's silly, because God has answered prayers before. We know God is faithful. We see all these things. But at that moment, in that despair, in my heartache, "God, where are you? Where are you?" And our faith turns around and starts asking this question, how long, God? How long do I have to endure this? How long do I have to suffer this? How long do I have to wait before you do something? I know one of my struggles this year is, God, why does evil seem to get away with it? You know, how come you're not judging some of these people that need to be judged? And it seems like they get away with it. And you know, we turn around and ask prayer for cancer, and we're told nothing, right? We're waiting. God, how long? And I put this in quotes because actually this is out of the book of Psalms. And if you ever get to a point where you got this emotion in you and you don't know how to get it out, I really encourage you to go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a wonderful book of expression. Many of them are written by David, who pours out his heart, and he goes from the extreme of, I'm worshiping you. Have you been so thrilled with God? God, maybe he's been working in your life. You're seeing him go, and you're just praising God. You know, you're alone in the car, the radio's blasted, and you're just praising God, and people are looking at you. You don't care. Right? It's like, woohoo! God is good. The Psalms talk about that. Have you ever been so miserable that you wish you were never born? David says that. I wish I was never born. Or my all-time favorite is, God, take my enemies and grind up their bones. You ever felt that way? David did. Book of Psalms. I really encourage you, if you get to a point where, just get into the book and read it, and they cover the whole emotional gambit. But the great thing about David is, at the end of all these psalms, no matter how joyful or no matter how depressing or how low all it is, David always wraps them up, but God, you're still God. God, you're still God. And I encourage Christians, tell God how you feel. He's got broad shoulders. He already knows what you're thinking. Might as well tell him. But I want to encourage you at the end of it, but God, as you pour it all out, but God, you're still God. Psalm 13 follows this pattern. He starts this off with, and let me know if this sounds familiar in your life, if you're waiting for God. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long, how long, how long? See, David understood this. It's interesting because David was a teenager when God picked him to be king. But it didn't happen right off. Actually, the present king, King Saul, was trying to kill David. When this psalm is written, David is running from Saul, going from cave to cave, hiding for his life because Saul was going to kill him. Here he had the promise of God, but he had to wait for it. How long? How long? As I said, at the end of the psalm, if you get a chance to look up the whole thing, it's only a few verses. But at the end of it, it goes, but God, you're merciful. God, you're still God. This is how I feel. But this is what I know. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, because our emotions are a wonderful thing. I'm glad we have emotions. I grew up watching Star Trek, you know, had Spock. We didn't have the emotions, you know. I'm glad I have that emotions. I'm glad we have joy. I'm glad we have sorrow to express in those times. But we got to be careful that our heart doesn't lead us. Because we got to live by faith, what God says.
And sometimes it contradicts how I feel. Right? When I cry out to God and heaven seems silent, God, do you even care? Are you there? Do you hear me, God? All these things, that's how I feel. But the Bible tells us something totally different. First thing the scripture says is God hears us. Isaiah 65, verse 24 says, "It came to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." I love that. Even before we call upon the Lord, He hears us. He will answer us. He's already working out the details. God already has the plan. Nothing catches God by surprise. I love that idea. God hears us when we cry. We call out to Him. And even though it doesn't seem anything changes, folks, we walk by faith and not by sight. Though I feel like God doesn't hear a word I say, though I feel like these words are just bouncing off the ceiling as I'm talking out to no one, be rest assured, God's word says what? He hears us. He hears you. Second thing we look at is God is there. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "And let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." What's that last bit? I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, once again, our hearts will tell us, I'm all alone. Our hearts and emotions will lie to us, deceiving us, thinking that God is not there. And yet He tells us there's nothing, beloved, that you can do that God will not be there for you. What a promise that is. You know, in this world, we have a very superficial love. The world wants to say, you know, I love you as long as you do these certain things for me. As long as you play by the rules. As long as you're a benefit to me. God doesn't work that way. This morning we did communion. We took the bread and we took the juice, which represents His body and His blood. This is what He did for you. The love of God is so deep, beyond our comprehension. The Bible asks us, what can separate us from the love of God? And He goes through a whole list of things and He says, nothing. Think about that, folks. There is nothing that you can do that God will love you less. Now, it doesn't mean He likes everything I do. But God's love never wavers. He knew what I was like before He even called me. There's no surprise. Even my failures and my doubts, He knew ahead of time. And He still chose to love me. God is there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We walk by faith and not by sight. Third, it says God understands. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we have a high priest who understands what we're going through. We just celebrated Christmas, right? Jesus came as a babe, but He didn't stay a babe. He grew up as a man, right? He experienced life like you and I. He understands what we're going through. He knows the struggles of life. And because of that, we come to Him. He understands. Do you feel abandoned? Jesus knows what it's like. The Bible says that all abandoned Him. Have you ever been betrayed? Jesus knows. One of His best friends betrayed Him with a kiss. You know what it's like to be hungry and thirsty? Jesus does. Do you know what it's like to struggle? Jesus does. He understands because He's been in my shoes. So because of that, I can come to Him. See, that's one of the wonders of the incarnation of Christ, that God became man. That through that, he understands what we're going through. He understands what it's like to be human. And finally, we find comfort in our souls because of that. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Lastly, I want to encourage you that God cares. See, not only does God know, not only does he see, not only is he there, but he cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Here, read that with me. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Do you believe God's word? He cares for you. He understands. The Bible says he understands my frame. I love that picture. He understands my frame. And with this, I always think of my little pickup truck. Actually, someone just the other day called it my little pickup truck. And thanks for rubbing that in. Right? And my truck, I'm glad. I have four-wheel drive. I was going around in the snow a little bit yesterday. I was like, I like this. I can haul a few things in back of it. But man, I can pull alongside of a big 350. And my truck gets little, real fast. I shared with you, I was in a gas station when I first got it. And a guy pulled alongside of me and filling up gas. And he looked over and goes, oh, that's not a bad little truck. And I hate that word, little truck. And I was like, oh, thank you. He goes, you know, if you give it full octane, he goes, it may grow up. I was like, thank you. You know, if I had a big 350, you could haul a lot of things, right? You could pull a lot of things more than my little truck can. But it's wise for me to understand what I can and cannot do with my truck, because I have to know its frame. That I can't expect more from my truck. I should know its limits, because I know its frame. Folks, the scripture tells us he knows your frame. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you're built for. God does not expect more from you than you can do through him. Notice I said through him. Because sometimes it's through his strength that you have to do these things. It's through trusting in him. But he knows our frame. Because he cares about us. He knows what we're able to do. He knows what we can't do. He knows. He understands. Because he cares for you. Even though you may feel like he doesn't. We walk by faith and not by sight. You just read the words. God's word is true. We walk by faith and not by sight. God cares. God hears. He's there. He understands. And he cares. Even though your heart may tell you different. Folks, walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm almost halfway. So we're going to have to split the sermon up because I could go into it. Unless you want to stay here for another hour. I had to do this morning too. But I want to give you the first point. That was all introduction. This is all when we feel like, God, where are you? When we feel like heaven is silent, there is an answer. When God tells us to wait, there's reasons for that sometimes. The first one I want to look at is that it's not God's timing yet. It's not God's timing yet. God's time is not my time. That's a lesson that's really hard to learn. Because you know what? You know when I want things done? I want it now. I always think of the little girl on Willy Wonka. I go, I don't care how I want it now, right? I want the whole world. I won't sing it to you. But anyway, right? She wants it all. And I want it right now. And waiting is hard. Because I have my agenda. I have my plans. And yet part of being a Christian is surrendering that to God. And God says, wait. Wait for his timing. An example of this, we talk about Jesus knowing and understanding. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. And word went out that he was sick. And actually in John chapter 10, the story goes on that Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is dead. And they're like, Jesus, come quickly. Now Jesus had been going out and ministering and feeding. Jesus had been walking on water. And Jesus had been healing the sick. And I'm sure when Martha and Mary saw that Lazarus, their brother, was sick, hey, send Jesus. He can heal all these other people. He'll come and he'll heal Lazarus. He'll make Lazarus better. As you read chapter 10, though, as Jesus is approaching, he stops and he talks to some people and he preaches some sermons and he heals some other people. And I can't help but when I read this, in my mind I'm thinking, Jesus, get going. Jesus, you're going to be late. Again, in chapter 11, Jesus shows up. And Lazarus has died. And Martha says this in John chapter 11, verse 21. It says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, your brother would not have died. Right? Where were you? We asked you to come and you didn't. You're too late. Don't you care? Well, guess what? We know Jesus cares. Jesus hears, he cares, he understands. But it wasn't the timing. See, from Mary and Martha's perspective, Jesus was late, but Jesus was right on time. And he goes, show us where he laid. And said, so they brought him to the tomb. And he says, hey, roll back the stone. And they're like, and I love this. I love the old King James in some verses. He says, roll back the stone. He says, but Lord, he stinketh. I just love that. He stinketh, right? He's rotting away. It's way past time. It's too late. Jesus says, no, I'm right on time. In that case, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus waved and Lazarus got up and came out. Now, Jesus isn't always raised from the dead. And some of this, we talk about those we've prayed, God answered it, but just not our way in our time. Some of these ones who have suffered from cancer and from COVID, Jesus has healed them. Just not the way I expected. And we look forward to seeing them again. It's just not on my time, it'll be on God's time. Lord, help me be patient. Book of Galatians promises this. Galatians 6, 9 says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. Seasons are hard. We're in the middle of winter now. I'm already waiting for the January thaw. Right? I don't know if we're going to get that or not. We've had a really easy year so far. Right? I don't know if any of you guys are gardeners. Yeah, you know, I've shared with you guys, I am not a gardener. I am not good at it because I don't have the patience for it. You know, I'm in the mood for a watermelon, and so I'll plant a watermelon seed, and I'll go out to the next day, and there's no watermelon. It takes months and care and taking care of all those things which I don't do well. Right? I'm not patient in waiting for the right time. So much so, one year we did a garden. And, you know, you get a new garden, you tend it a little bit. Then after a while, it's like, I don't feel like going out today. Oh, the bugs are too bad. I know some of you guys have, you know, don't judge me. So we had the garden, and finally about midsummer, we gave up on it. And so come fall, we played a game called, let's find the tomatoes. Or let's go find the cucumbers. We found some cucumbers on, you know, the grass is this high, and you're going through, you know, it was gardening with an adventure. we lost heart. And we gave up. Jesus says, look, if you don't give up, trust in him. Follow him to the end. Follow his timing. There's a blessing there. But it's not my time, it's his. Book of Daniel tells us an interesting story. Daniel, God has revealed Daniel a bunch of stuff. And he was overwhelmed by some of the things that he had seen. And he cried out to God about the situation that he was in. And Daniel prayed and nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened. You ever feel that way? I don't know if Daniel felt like God didn't care, but we know he does. Maybe he felt like God didn't hear him, but we know he does. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Daniel chapter 10 starts off this way. It says, and then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Daniel prayed, and guess what? God heard that on the first day he prayed. When you pray, before the words get out of your mouth, God is hearing that. But sometimes you have to wait. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. What this is talking about was there was a spiritual warfare that was going on. And the angel was dispatched, but couldn't get through because of the enemy. There's the demonic forces that were keeping the angel. And Michael had to come for reinforcements to get through. For 21 days, this battle was going on. Daniel had no clue what was going on. Had God heard him? Yes. Had God sent the answer? Yes. When? At the first utterance of it. But Daniel had to wait. Folks, sometimes when we talk about God's timing, maybe there's a spiritual battle going on. Maybe God is trying to show you in your life that, look, are you going to trust him? Truly trust him. And sometimes that takes time. Right? If God answered us at the very moment, gave us everything we wanted, you know what? Our faith would be so shallow. But when God says no, and I have to wait on him, trust in him, it strengthens our faith. Maybe it's not God's timing. If we come out to God and say, God, what's going on? Did God deliver me from this? God, stop this. Have you ever prayed that? I've prayed. I call it the Kelgon prayer, because it used to be an old Kelgon commercial. You got the lady in the bathtub. I'm old. There used to be a commercial where the kids are chaotic, the house is a mess, they pan through the house, they come through the bathroom door, and they go through the closed bathroom door, and there's a mother in the bathtub who's all bubbly, and she's like, Kelgon, take me away. I've prayed that. God, just make it all just go away. God's just wait. Wait on me. If you don't grow weary, if you're faithful, the answer will come. We're going to stop right there. We'll pick things up next week. But I want to leave you with this. The next point is that sometimes what we're going through is the only way for God to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. We're going to look at Jesus and what Jesus went through. But I want to encourage you with the first part of all this. Folks, when you feel like heaven is silent, when you feel like God's not there, walk by faith and not by sight. We're told that God cares. We're told he hears. We're told he's there. We're told that he understands. Believe that over your heart. So when heaven is silent, when the answer does not seem to come, maybe God's just telling you to wait. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word that reveals some of your heart to us. For me to be patient and to wait upon you, Lord. Oh, waiting is so hard. But Lord, let faith have its perfect work in my life Lord, give me the strength to not waver, to not lose heart. Lord, we thank you that even though we seem like heaven is silent, Lord, you are there. And Lord, you care. You understand. Thank you, Lord. Amen.